Hey, James, good morning. How are you feeling?
Crap. How do you feel?
I feel fine.
How do I look?
You look kind of rough. What's up? Do you want to talk about it? I mean,
I don't know what. I went to the doc. Why did I go to the doctor?
I don't know.
I went to the doctor for a physical.
Uh-huh.
It's the first one in a long time.
Right.
Actually, I got the appointment because this is fun. I have wax in my ears that builds up to the point where it clogs my own goddamn ears.
Oh, my gosh.
And so that happened like 6 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And I tried calling my regular doctor, who is familiar with that problem, and I was told, you haven't seen her in 4 years, so she dumped you as a patient.
Wow.
Without notice. It's like, okay, so that was, she dumped me after 3 years, so that would have been last year in the middle of the pandemic when they told everyone not to go out and see doctors unless you absolutely needed to.
Right.
Right? So that seems like kind of a shitty thing to do.
Yeah, that is shitty.
You know, I said, well, can I become a patient of hers again? And they said, oh, no, she's not taking new patients anymore. And I was like, but I'm not a new patient, really.
Right.
It's like, well, you are now because, you know, you haven't seen her.
Oh, geez.
So, you know, our great American medical system.
Yeah, it's
took
so
me
not
six
broken.
Weeks to get an, it took me 6 weeks to get an appointment with another doctor. So I saw him yesterday. Not yesterday. Wednesday. It's a few days ago. And they talked me into getting the flu shot. And I'm hoping it was just a really bad reaction to the flu shot, because a few hours after that, I got the worst abdominal pains I've ever had. And that persisted up until about this morning.
Oh, my gosh. Did you call them and let them know?
I'm gonna call them this morning.
Yeah.
Best case scenario is it's just a bad reaction to the flu shot.
Uh-huh.
Though it doesn't seem like it's a normal reaction to the flu shot, so I don't know.
No, that's odd. You should probably report it on VAERS, too.
Oh, yeah. I love VAERS. VAERS is all self-reported.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy.
The kinds of shit that people report as a response to the COVID-19 vaccine.
Right.
I think there were several hundred people who reported pregnancy as a reaction to the COVID-19
nice.
Vaccine. Falling downstairs. Basically, everything in the known universe
downstairs.
Has been a response to the COVID-19
vaccine. Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm sorry you're feeling rough.
Oh, God. Yeah, this is going to be a real craptacular show today.
Yeah.
Unless you can carry the whole show.
I could tell a story. I was thinking of some stories we were going to talk about. I mean, well, happy October.
Oh, yeah. I have to go change my registration sticker on my car before I go out.
Yeah, mine's in the middle of May in the heat of the day. But yeah, so happy October. Happy October. It's like we're probably finally in the 90s here. Shit's cooling off. We're just in a cold snap. Yeah, we wanted to do like a little series. We talked about doing like kind of a spooky series for October. I don't know if we have enough material.
This is going to be the first of many.
Right, the first of many. What I did want to address was probably...
You know what I want to address? I want to address my goddamn dog.
Okay, go ahead.
So I was the sick one, which is unusual in my family because it's my wife who's chronically ill. So she's the one who's usually sick. And my dog, I guess, realizes that. So the other night when my wife and my son left...
Mm-hmm.
My dog thought, oh, everyone's out of the house now because James never stays home because he's always out. And she knows she's not supposed to be on the sofa.
Mm-hmm.
If there's anyone in the house, doesn't matter where in the house they are, she will not be on the sofa because she knows she's not supposed to be on the sofa.
Okay.
Because that's how I've taught her.
Okay.
My bedroom is right behind our living room, which is in the front of our house.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear some rustling on the sofa and I pick my head up in my stupor and there she is. Sitting just upright and happy as can be on the sofa.
Aww, I love it.
Literally before my wife has pulled out of the driveway.
Oh, that's so cute.
So she got a little bit of a shock to see that I was still there and ran off.
She was
it's like,
happy.
What the shit, man? You're not supposed to be here.
So she does this all the time.
Here's the thing. When I get back, if usually someone's in the house, but when the rare occasion when I get back and someone has not been, the house has been empty and it's just been her around, I go and put my hand on the sofa to see if it's warm. And 10 times out of 10, the sofa is warm.
See? I love it. She's such a cute dog.
Such a little...
God, no, she's adorable.
Yeah, oh, she's great, but she's... Come on. She knows she's not supposed to be on the sofa, but she just does it out of spite. I don't know.
No, she likes a sofa. It's a game. That's so cute. I love
She's
dogs. And
dog.
Like, I don't even know what they think. When Buddy was still alive, when he was little and could jump and stuff, we didn't. I mean, you know, he's a Chihuahua. He weighed like, what, all of 8-9 pounds at the most when he was a fat day or something. And he used to jump on the back of the sofa. We have a sofa under a window in the front room. And he would just run and like jump, like just take off jumping and hit it like a catapult and then jump right up to the top of the back of the sofa and just kind of stand there and look out the window and bark at things. I mean, it was like a typical Chihuahua behavior. The last time he did it, he had just started like getting old. He was maybe, I don't know, 9 years old or something. And he went and it took a while. And he ran up to the sofa, tried to catapult, couldn't do it, ran back. He did it like 3 or 4 times. Finally, he hits the sofa, hits the back of it, and slides right off the back of the top of the sofa.
So that's the kind of thing you need to...
And
videotape.
He just, I wish I'd taped it. And then he just kind of laid there and then he walked around real sheepishly, looked at me, never tried it again. But it's like, oh my God, my poor baby. But he tried so hard and then he just slid down. It was actually kind of comical, but now I'm missing him. So let's stop talking about dog.
Well, it's sad too. But, well, the cats do that too. I mean, not necessarily, they never miss, obviously.
Yeah, unless, no, he missed big time.
There are some pretty, I don't know what the word would be for. I want to say retarded, but you know, that's not. That's kind of fallen out of favor.
Yeah, not PC. Can't say the R word.
Ugh, that is so stupid. You know, retarded has a clinical definition. Some cats that are mobility challenged or neurologically challenged,
right?
You know, do try to do things and fail.
Yes.
But the cats, my cats, you know, will always like jump up on the windowsill when the window's open and watch out, look at the birds and just like, saying with murder in their eyes. It's wonderful to see that. It's like,
I know, they really,
oh, I'm gonna murder the shit out of you when I get out of here.
I tear you from wing to wing.
Maybe I should just not go to doctors anymore.
I make it a habit to try to not go to doctors.
You're a nurse.
I know. What do you think?
Of course,
yeah.
I'm married to a doctor. Well, I'm married to a veterinarian, so it's like an upgraded doctor.
Yeah it is. It's
human doctor. What is up with human doctors? They only do one species. That's kind of lame.
I know. They do one species and they do one thing and you know what they do.
That's right.
You know what they
do?
They refer.
Yeah.
They refer. You know, I miss my veterinarian. I need to send him lunch for all the wonderful work he did with my dog at the end. I just haven't had the energy every time I think about it, I get sad. But he's so cute. And like, again, you'd walk into that clinic and it never smelled like anything. It was clean as a whistle. I mean, the staff was glad to see you. They knew your name. They knew your pet. They cared. I mean, I'd take the dog in the whole time, any dog we ever had, and they'd call and follow up. It's like, how's he doing? Is he taking his medicine? Is he feeling better? You know, they want to see him again.
Should ask him if he's taking patients, because apparently it's a big problem now is that there's a huge shortage of veterinarians.
Oh my gosh. He used to always tell me, if I'm reincarnated, Catherine, I want to come back and be one of your dogs.
I said, well, why would he want to be a psychotic little Chihuahua?
Well, because we just take such good care of them. They live for 16 years, you know. And I just said, well, you know, I just want to wave a magic wand and have you be my doctor.
Oh, that would be so much better. I was a little bit disappointed with my wife. I mean, we have an ultrasound. We have a mobile ultrasound because she used to do that when she was well enough to do it.
Uh-huh.
I was kind of waiting for her to do an ultrasound on me.
On your abdomen, right.
I guess she just wasn't interested enough. I was the wrong species.
Did you ever call anyone to see or?
No, I was kind of out of it too. I was just so much pain that I really couldn't think straight. But I'm going to call today and just let them know and
definitely
ask if I should do anything about it now that it seems to be over. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. I hope it's over. Oh, well,
I just,
we'll
you know, I
better.
Hope that veterinarians can see humans at some point, because you go to a veterinarian and they can do the blood work and they can do everything right there, right then. You don't have to reschedule anything.
No.
Like if you need an ultrasound, in most places, they'll just give you the ultrasound.
Right.
Or an x-ray.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, they'll just wheel you down. And apparently this is the way healthcare is done in most other countries too. It's not like you go to a doctor and they say, oh, you need an x-ray. So you can get that in 2 weeks. And then we'll get back to you 2 weeks after that about what the results were. And then 2 weeks after that or 4 weeks after that, you can get another appointment to come in and see what we're going to do about it.
Right, right.
If you're still alive, you know.
If you happen to be still alive. Right, yeah. I called one of my physicians that I hadn't seen for a while. I know he moved his practice at the end of 2019. And then, of course, then the pandemic. And then he got settled. And then they didn't want people going in. So I called to make, you know, just an annual appointment, like, you know, women do. And they're like, oh, he's booked up for September. He could see you in October. I'm like, okay, October 22nd. I'm like, okay. Are you sitting? You're sitting. October 22nd of 2022. He's booked for the rest of the year and into next year. So I'm like, okay, it's time to find a new guy. you know, I'm loyal to a point, but, you know, like you said, I didn't go during the pandemic. He moved the office, blah, blah, blah. October 22nd of 2022.
Yeah, that's...
I know you're
great.
Shaking your head.
It feels
shaking.
Like a third world country.
Well, it to some extent it is, you know, it's the greed and the... I don't think, I'm not saying he's greedy. I know he's a, you know, he's just doing a part-time now and he books ahead of time and all that. And I've known the guy forever and I just adore him. And if he could get me in sooner, I'd probably go back, but I'm not going to wait. Nothing's, you know, knock on wood, clinically significant that I need to see anyone before that, hopefully. But I mean, it just seems weird.
Part of the problem is that who does the doctor work for? Does he work for you?
I think they just work for themselves.
No, they don't even work for themselves. They work for the insurance companies. I saw a great little TikTok about this. And the guy was, there's a doctor talking to himself because that's what TikTok does.
Right.
And he was saying, so who do you work for? He's like, well, I work for myself. I have my own clinic. He says, oh, so your patients pay you. Well, no, the insurance pays me.
Right.
Oh, okay. So you tell the insurance how much to pay you. Well, no, the insurance tells me how much they're going to pay me for anything. And they also tell me what I can do and what I can't do. So basically, doctors are working for insurance companies, which is kind of ass backwards. It's like the tail wagging the dog.
It is. It is to some extent. Yeah. So that's a good perspective. It is. It's extremely messed up in this country. Extremely messed up.
You know how sick I was, Catherine?
No, I don't. How sick were you, James?
This is the first coffee in 2 days that I've had.
Oh, my gosh.
I couldn't even drink coffee.
Oh, my gosh. Were you able to
eat
anything?
I've lost 26 pounds.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, of course. I've got to be dead. I lost 26 pounds.
I know. I'm
in
like,
two
you
days.
Look pretty good for that.
It's like, if I cut a leg off, maybe I could lose.
Oh, my God. Don't even
pounds.
Say that. No. Ooh. Were you able to eat anything? Was you?
A little bit.
Yeah, when I'm sick, the first thing I don't want is coffee.
No, it's not that I didn't want it. I just couldn't really get up and make it.
Oh.
Even, you know, pressing a button on a Keurig machine.
It was too much.
Yeah.
Oh, and no one brought it to you.
Well, I could have probably asked my wife to, but I don't know. It might be too much. I mean, if she's not willing to do an ultrasound on me, is she really going to be willing to make me some coffee?
I think your wife is a kind woman. She would have
she's
brought
wonderful.
You some coffee.
She's awesome.
She
would have. I mean, she fed the child the past 2 days and she's done all the dishes, which is like, wow. So someone else can actually wash the dishes. That's good to know.
I know. Isn't it? I mean, how did you become the dishwasher in your house? I certainly
even though I was sick, I still did the laundry. I did two loads of laundry.
You know, people are like, gosh, you know, you're not currently working. It's like, no, I have many jobs around this house.
Yeah. I feel like probably both of us, like 2 weeks after we're dead, we'll probably still be doing the laundry.
Right. Yeah, laundry and dishes and cooking and Costco-ing.
My son will walk in and say, Dad, would you please get back in the grave? You've been dead for 2 weeks already. Come on.
But before you go, where are my jeans?
Oh, yeah.
Where's that T-shirt?
He doesn't actually wear jeans, which is kind of great. Well, no, jeans are terrible, but it might actually be worse. He only wears those Adidas track pants.
Oh.
Like all the other kids. I don't know why.
I don't know what kids are wearing.
This is such a thing now.
Oh, yeah.
Track pants. They look like Russian gigolos or something. I don't know.
Wow. That's a look.
Not one I'm really fond of.
I can't even picture it. I live mostly in yoga pants. The end of 2019, I decided to purge my wardrobe to a 50-piece, you know, compartment little size wardrobe. I don't even know what they were calling them at the time. It was like a trend, you know.
What?
After the Marie Kondo thing, everyone was purging everything. And so they're like, Marie Kondo.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, she did this. It was the Japanese art of tidying up. She wrote this book.
What does that even mean?
Well, you just look at things.
The art of tidying up?
Yeah.
How do you not know? Do you need a book on how to tidy up?
I read it in one sitting with a cup of coffee and a bagel, and it was fantastic. And then I tried to apply, and I got stuck. I read the book. I couldn't, like, apply the principles.
Guess it wasn't a very good book then.
No, it was awesome, but it took a lot of work. And, I, you know, you look at every object and you're like, geez. Does this bring me joy? If it doesn't bring you joy, you get rid of it.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You know, the sponge I used.
She had a TV show and everything.
The sponge I used to wash the dishes brings me zero joy, but if I got rid of it, I'd kind of be up Schitt's Creek.
Right. So anyway, I did this wardrobe. It was like another thing I saw probably on YouTube where everyone was like, oh, just do a, I can't even remember the name of it now. It's been so long. I mean, it's like pandemic mind, you know, end of like 2018, end of 2019, whatever. And so I went through my whole closet and kind of condoed it. And it's just like, well, what do I need? So I got out these, you know, information about these smaller wardrobes. And I got rid of so much stuff in my wardrobe. I literally was down to 50 items. This is pre-pandemic. So And so I have like yoga pants and some t-shirts. I mean, it included not like underwear or socks or anything, but like the main thing.
Well, that seems, wait, hang on.
Yeah.
That seems like a big caveat.
Yeah. No, you have your underwear and your socks.
Separately.
And so, yeah, separately. But, well, I did because, I mean, 50, I like my variety. But, you know, anyway, I did this whole purge and then bam, the pandemic. And then I lost, like, I did lose like 40 pounds at the beginning of the pandemic because I was so freaked out. I wasn't eating and I was just running around like a bunny and doing all kinds of crazy shit. And now a year and a half into this, it's like I can't continue to wash the same t-shirts. I wash the same stuff every week because I don't have a big wardrobe anymore.
You'd be washing clothes anyway, though. Doesn't matter what clothes you're washing. You know, I prefer washing the same thing over and over again because getting new articles of clothing, I have to look at the tag and then, oh, this has to be washed
right,
on cold.
Right.
So
it's
I
just
wash
getting...
it on cold and then I forget the next time and I wash it on hot anyway. So what's the difference, really? It gives me more...
Joy.
Not joy. Less. What's the opposite of joy? Panic attack.
Oh, panic attack.
It's not that bad. But, you know, my wife sometimes buys clothes and, like, she'll just dump them in the laundry room. Like, what the hell is this? This is a whole new load of stuff that I have to deal with.
Right. You got to, like, discern the... And if they don't have the washing instructions, they just have the pictures. Have you seen those?
Yeah, but almost everything has the instructions on it.
Right. Some of the stuff I had, it just had the pictures. I'm like, oh, what the hell is this? But anyway, I now am down to, like, this compact wardrobe that has been well worn over the last 18 months. And I really can't go out of the house because I don't know that I was going to buy new clothes.
You've been out of the house. I think you'd be fine. I think you've been fine.
Okay. All right. I've been out of the house a couple times, but not to do anything. Well, who's going to do anything anyway? No one's doing anything.
Well, we spoke to Ken Clark and you seemed to be dressed. I don't remember exactly, but I think I would have remembered if you hadn't been.
Oh, I was dressed. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a couple things I could pull out of the back of the closet. But anyway, enough of clothing talk. Well, at least we're not clogging the landfills in Ghana.
Yeah.
You know, we were going to talk about spooky art and everything, but I do want to bring up one. Let me pull up my phone here. Don't get triggered.
I'm going to kill that phone. I'm going to smash that phone into 1,000 different pieces.
You and like two other people I live with here, they hate this phone. Okay, the scariest, and this may get a tad political. I'm just going to say it. It's not necessarily political. I thought it was sad. This was the scariest article about art.
Uh-huh.
Are you ready? It's in the Washington Post, and the title of the article is Afghans Bury Paintings and Hide Books Out of Fear of Taliban Crackdown on Arts and Culture. And I just thought that was scary and sad.
Well, it's sad, and that's, you know, to be expected.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're so... There's so much news every day about Afghanistan. Like, we didn't care about Afghanistan a year ago, and now suddenly you can't stop hearing news about it.
Right.
We didn't care about it 20 years ago either.
I know. I
don't understand the media's focus on stuff. Really don't. I mean, it's a tiny little country in the middle of nowhere that doesn't mean anything for anyone. I mean, that's where Al-Qaeda trained for the attacks on September 11th. But aside from that, and a completely failed war there for a 20-year-long war.
Failed.
Why are we suddenly so interested in it? If we were suddenly so interested in it, maybe we should just stay there and help police their cities.
Agree.
Because that's basically all we ever had control of were the cities. And the cities are very different from... Yeah, Afghanistan is a weird combination of provinces, basically.
Yeah, I don't even know that much about it.
It's not even really a full country. Like most of the places in the Middle East, the borders were randomly generated, apparently, by the French and the English in the earlier part of this century. And not well considered. So you have a bunch of different ethnicities that don't really get along very well, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm. Just in terms of the art, I just thought it was sad that people were trying to protect things.
Well, it's good that they're going to do that because they know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Their buried paintings, a bookseller was trying to hide certain books. And I just thought it was kind of a sad and scary article. And I remember when a lot of those Buddhist statues were destroyed. And I thought that was that was years ago. But, you know,
that was 25 years ago. That was pretty stupid.
Yeah, it was stupid. You know, but so I guess the beat goes on. But that was probably the scariest thing I read.
Yeah, the beat goes on. It sounds exactly the same.
It's exactly the same. And, you know, So enough of that.
I talked about this on Heatstroke a little bit.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and just the idea that the new Taliban is on Twitter.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding. And this is one of the focuses, is they're trying to use social media to make it themselves look better and more attractive to the West. Because guess what? They still need support from other countries. Otherwise, the people of their country are going to starve to death because they don't have the means to...
Yeah, they don't really have a government, do they?
Not really.
Or a means of ruling.
Anybody who was in any... All the bureaucrats, as many of the bureaucrats who actually got things done, I know that sounds like an oxymoron, but actually yeah. bureaucrats in the government are the people who actually get things done. All of them that could leave did leave. I sure as hell would have left. And my stance is we should take as many Afghan refugees as Afghan refugees want to leave. Like, I don't give a shit about... There are no quotas in my mind. If you want to leave Afghanistan, if you want to come to the United States, you are welcome to do so.
Agree.
But anyway, what was I saying? Something about... Yeah. Afghanistan's a mess.
Oh, what a mess. So anyway, that was just the scariest art article. I don't even know where to go from there.
Well, that article you sent me about the crying children, I thought it was really interesting.
Okay, go.
I thought that was a great article. You want to describe it?
No, you describe it.
They were referring to some occurrences in the 1980s. This was when they started in England.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the paper? Was it The Sun? I don't remember exactly. One of their tabloidish kind of papers was reporting repeatedly that how there were cursed paintings of these crying children.
The crying children.
Crying child painting was cursed and would burn any house that it wound up in. And firefighters were going in, they would put out this house fire, and they would discover the only thing that wasn't burned to ruins was a painting of a crying child. It's just kind of a silly article about silly stuff, but
the way the article
was written, I love the way it was a great writing. It was just great writing because it there's a spooky sense to it, just the way the writer has written out the story and just the way it's written well. It's a well-written article, which is unusual these days because, you know, it starts off with throwing this in your face, like, ooh, these paintings are the only thing that survived from this house fire. And they see this, oh, and the firefighter's like, oh, not another one of these.
Right.
And then they slowly fill in the backstory of the artist who may have painted these things, and he has a spooky backstory. And then eventually they come clean and basically say it's all a bunch of nonsense, but it's just well-written enough so that it gives you a sense of spookiness. It's great for the Halloween season. I should send this to my niece, who is completely obsessed with Halloween. The only reason she lives is for Halloween.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. Well, send it to her. Send it to her. I thought it was interesting. I'd heard about that. I'd seen even, I think, you know, YouTube videos on this, the crying boy.
Wow.
I think it was even on, you know, those stories on like the travel channel, like the cuckoo.
Really?
Yeah. And so it just popped up. I was just searching, like we were talking about doing some haunted, you know, kind of spooky stuff for October.
Well, that was more you.
And that was me. I know.
And I'm fine to go along for that ride, but, you know, it wouldn't have occurred to me.
The crying boy curse strikes again. And I just thought, I would never have one of those paintings in my house.
Well, that's the spookiest thing of all is, why the hell would you have a picture of a crying baby or a child in your house? Why would you buy that for your house?
I know, the crying child. And then isn't it like in some
of
the...
It's almost like if you want to have that kind of, quote, art in your house, your house deserves to be burned down. Why would you want crying children on your walls?
I know. It's like it said like that in some of the paintings that they could see flames reflected in the child's eyes.
I didn't see that in the article.
Okay.
But, ooh, that sounds good. Well, one person has subsequently, you know, this created all kinds of weird internet...
Mm-hmm.
Followings and repercussions, and one person drilled out the eyes and put red LEDs in them.
No.
Oh yeah. So the reason these things didn't burn apparently was because they were printed on press board. So these were reproductions.
Reproductions.
Or not press board, but some very dense material which is kind of hard to get to burn.
Uh-huh.
And then they also had a shellac that was fire retardant. So unlike the whole entire rest of the house of a 1980s England house,
mm-hmm.
you know, this was non-flammable as opposed to the rest of it, which would be 110% flammable.
Right, because they tried to burn some of these paintings and they couldn't.
Yeah, that was at the end of the article. Then again, they hold that back to the end of the article, so you get this spooky sense built up before they debunk it.
Right, right.
And they know damn well that we're not going to remember anything but the spooky part of it.
Right, the spooky part. Yeah, so, yeah, there you go. Do you think that you can paint like your energy into paintings and create a spooky painting, James?
You know, I wish I could because I think I could sell them.
Absolutely.
But I don't think I can. I mean, that's one of the questions I was going to ask you. So how do we make a spooky painting?
I don't know. I found an article, I can't find it right now, but about like how to paint spooky kind of effects in your painting, kind of like Van Gogh did, like with that kind of circular whatever, to make it look like it moves. Yeah, kind of like a Starry Night. And then if you stare at it.
You thought that was spooky?
No, it's not spooky, but they said some people see movement in it, and it's the way that he painted it. And so there was this little primer on... I was looking at it yesterday and I almost sent it to you and I'm like, yeah, this doesn't rise to the level of discussibility, if that's even
a word.
No,
but it's interesting. Optical illusion. Optical illusions are really interesting because there's a whole body of research on it that shows, and you know, some of this I learned in art school because we just cover how the eye sees
things. The gamut.
Mm-hmm. You can, in a two-dimensional space, create things that look like they are literally moving but are not moving.
Right. And that's what this article was pretty much telling you. Some ways to do that, very simplistic ways with linear, you know, just an application of lines and how you could do it. And it was interesting.
And that's basically manipulating the difference between what our eyes, the actual information that's coming into mm-hmm. our visual information that's coming to our eyes versus what the brain is actually thinking it's seeing. Because, you know, we are basically brains in vats.
Right.
Because our brain is not directly connected to our environment.
Uh-huh.
All the sensory input that we get is translated into the brain. And so we're not really getting the raw data feed. Our vision comes in and then it's the brain processes it. So we're not really seeing what we think we're seeing. It's always trying to do as little work as possible to figure out what's in front of us. So it's basically applying algorithms to everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we see faces everywhere. You know, it's so easy to see a face because we're programmed to see faces.
Oh, like the faces and clouds or a face in a tortilla chip?
Yeah, or, you know, on people too, because, you know, not everyone has a face, right?
Pretty much.
I don't know. I'm just trying to be weird.
I was just thinking, like, when they see apparitions and, like, in, like, a tortilla chip.
And, we're, you know, we try to hear things. So we try to, if an odd noise, we try to hear make it sound like something we can recognize. And
yeah, something.
It's all the same thing.
Our
brains are... It all comes back to our brains being so lazy that it will do as little work as possible to figure out what the signal is. Even if there's nothing in the signal or the signal is completely different, it just tries to put it into a box. Tries to box it up for us as simply as it can.
So that's it? You think that's it with all these hauntings and any kind of activity?
Oh, no, that's a totally different thing. No, it's not a totally different thing. Part of it's that, but, you know, people just love spooky stuff.
I know.
And, you know, they want to have some drama in their lives. And you know, patterns, that's the easiest thing. Once you start, if you want to see a pattern, you mm-hmm. will see the pattern, mm-hmm. regardless of whether it's there or not.
Yeah, I do have a spooky story that I want to talk about. Not this podcast.
Okay.
But about the old bead museum.
Was it haunted?
Yes. Definitively, yes.
Do you want a stupid story to end with then?
Yes.
Or do you have anything? Okay, boy.
Go.
I'm surprised you didn't mention this. Did you not see this? I'm going to read the article headline from the BBC.
What?
Danish museum wants artists to pay back money after producing blank canvases.
Oh my God. Oh no. The revenge of the white painting.
Kind of. This is pretty funny.
Okay.
So, and they paid him a lot of money to do that. Like $83,000 they paid him.
Oh my God.
So the idea was they hired him. Apparently, this guy, I looked him up and his name is Jan or Jens, or I don't know how to pronounce those mm-hmm. crazy Danish people. Let's say Jan Hanning.
Okay.
Let's just make that. That's what I guess he's called. He's kind of a crappy artist to begin with. One of his works is called Kabul, speaking of Afghanistan.
Oh
and
my
it's
God.
It's just a wall clock that is set to Kabul time, and that's 3,000 euros.
Wow.
So that's a wall clock, just an off-the-shelf wall clock that he set to Kabul time.
Wow.
So that kind of puts him in. But some of his other works, he's used actual banknotes, you know, money.
Right.
To recreate, to create artwork, quote, artwork. And so what this museum did was they hired him to take banknotes and recreate masterworks, like old paintings.
Okay.
With the banknotes. You know, and this is not uncommon where you have... You have a large image that's made up of smaller images, and those smaller images you arrange so that like the darker ones can go in the darker parts of the painting. So it was a big thing like maybe 10 years ago.
Right, right.
Where you have, it was a lot easier to use this digitally. You could take, you actually literally just take a picture of like a person and then use Google to find 1,000 pictures that it could automatically fill into the grid to, you know, as you zoom out, it looks like a person, but as you zoom in, you realize it's made up of all these tiny little pictures. So basically that.
Okay.
And instead of delivering that, he delivered a bunch of gessoed canvases, just blank canvases. And the title of his work was Take the Money and Run.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Wicked genius.
Well, that's one way to put it. I would have said asshole, but you say genius. One man's asshole is another man's genius.
It's kind of funny in a way, and it's really icky on the other hand.
Right.
Oh, that's a real dick move.
Well, and that was his point was, well, the art is the fact that I'm taking the money.
Oh, yeah, just like
that's,
the art is.
That's where the art is. Like, you know, that's not the art, buddy.
No.
That's not what art is. You can't just define art as anything you want it to be.
Right.
And you can, but I'm not going to accept it. And
right.
I'm not going to expect my $83,000 back, please. Thank you. Please and thank you.
Oh, God.
So the museum's like, oh, it was kind of funny, but yeah, we do expect that money back.
And so did he give it back?
Not yet.
He ran.
Oh, his other complaint was, well, it was going to cost more money to make the works. And, I'm in such a terrible position anyway. Making these works is so pressing on me. It's just such a terrible place to be. It's like he's complaining about being an artist who takes $83,000.
Uh-huh.
When was the last time you got an $83,000 commission, Catherine?
Never.
Oh, well.
I mean, do I even have to pause to think about that?
We're doing something wrong, aren't we?
Right. Well, yeah, I'm not, trying to con people.
His life is so tragic.
Yeah. And, it's like, if you want to make money, don't be an artist.
Oh, no, you can. It's a fantastic way to make money as long as you don't mind being a complete dick.
Well,
you
that's
the thing.
You have
to be a dick.
Yeah, you have to be a dick. But, I mean, he's complaining about something that he wanted to do that's like, affords him flexibility and the opportunity to be creative. And then he's complaining about it because he has to con. It's like, it's too weird. That's just, that was a good story.
That is the modern art world, though, summed up very nicely.
Right?
And because you've got the museum is like, oh yeah, haha, funny. We want the money back now.
Right. Give it back. I wonder
so
if he
it's
just
like the art world hitting reality. It's like, yeah, you can try to pull off this bullshit, but if you're trying to, don't do that to a Danish museum.
Right. I wonder where he split to. Is he still in?
I'm sure he hasn't left any. He's probably
maybe
just
he went to Kabul.
His studio. I don't know. Yeah. Well, gosh, that would be great. We should send him to Kabul.
Take
your money and
clock.
Run to Kabul. I mean, yeah. Do you really care about Kabul, or is it, what's going on with you?
I know. Why would you even
put
make
your money where your mouth is?
Yeah, where your clock is.
That's even better.
Put your money where your clock is.
That's why we have you on the podcast, Catherine.
I know. It's just gold. It's just gold. And I am trying to work on a TikTok that we discussed.
Trying.
Yeah, it was another week from hell around here.
Oh man, you need to get out of there and have a better week. Maybe you need a week off.
I need a week off. Yes, I do. I do. I hope you feel better, James. You're looking better even just talking to me.
I've sat up straight for the past half hour, so that's
good.
New.
Good. We'll
Cleo,
try
how
to
you doing? Something out there, Cleo? Who are you barking at?
Aw.
After, 8 years now, Cleo, you still bark at the mailman.
It's her buddy. Is she sitting on the couch?
Buddy. No, she's up at the window.
Aww.
Up on the windowsill looking at the mailman.
Aw. She's so Miss Cleo. We'll have to get together and do our podcast outside
here
again.
Here
he that
comes.
Was fun.
He's coming right at her right now. Crossing the street. Cleo, settle down. It's okay.
Aw, listen to her. Good girl.
And now she's whimpering because she can't get at the mailman.
You think she'd bite him or lick him?
If we introduced them calmly, she would lick him.
Okay.
Sorry, Cleo. The mailman is now gone.
Aw.
Missed him yet again what is that? Like the 5,000th time? 3,000th time? Something like that? After 3,000 attempts, you have still failed to get the mailman, Cleo.
Through the window.
You have failed yet again. You're a massive disappointment.
Is she doing a walk of shame right now?
Yeah, she is. She's walking away. It's done. failed yet again.
Oh my gosh.
Oh wait, no, now she's going outside. She can think maybe she's going to try to jump the wall and get him.
Okay. Okay. Well, James, feel better.
Oh, you too. You too.